to episode 62 of the Gore Press Gorecast. I'm your host, Sarah B. Demented. With me as usual is Phil.
Hello, hello.
How are you, Phil?
I'm good. I am much less hay fevery than last week. So.
Good, good. That's what we like to hear.
Hey.
Not only are you treated to our dulcet tones this time, we've also got a third voice. We have recorded, I don't know if you've listened to it, we did record the first of a new podcast a little while ago called the Gorepress Crapshoot,
yeah,
which has since been put on hiatus. But if you listen to that, you'll already know Ben's voice.
Hello.
He's going to be joining us today. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
Good, good. Looking very tan.
Well, you know, it's just tan Stewie being tan Stewie.
So today, we're going to talk about 2011's Absentia.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, we're going to discuss what we've watched lately. Mm. Who wants to kick off? I know you do.
Maybe.
Let's give the floor to Ben.
Pacific Rim. Oh my God, it was so good. Specifically, the best film I've seen in a very long time.
But you are into your monsters
I'm
and such.
So biased, so biased, but it was everything I wanted it to be.
Okay, well, you have reviewed it for the site.
I have.
So if you'd rather hear about it that way, you can go to gorepress.com and read that. But do you want to give us a quick rundown of what you said in the review?
Yeah, other than
jizz,
jizz, jizz, mopping up my trousers.
No,
it was everything in the trailer that they put. They lived up to.
Okay.
I mean, I've read a few reviews saying it didn't live up to the hype. That's a lie, in my opinion. I sat through it. I loved every second of it. I cannot really fault it.
Is it a really great film, or is it just a really, really good summer blockbuster film?
Bit of both. It definitely has that summer blockbuster feel, mm-hmm, but at the same time, there were the odd, you were expecting, I don't want to spoil it too much, you were expecting a very cliched thing, and it didn't happen.
Okay.
And it went the other way, and
that's always good.
Mm.
It was just brilliant. I mean, the effects were incredible, starting on that. It's, as I said in the review, Michael Bay should be hiding in a corner somewhere. Probably
yeah,
counting his money, but he should still be hiding in a corner somewhere, because
I was talking about this just with somebody the other day, like, basically, how do you get that sort of a budget and make a film about giant robots and get it so wrong, Michael Bay? How do you get that wrong? That should be kick-ass, surely.
Yeah.
Oh, well, at least.
To be fair, though, looking at it, I think he did Guillermo del Toro a favour, because it's so different to anything that's been seen before. It's not a spoiler, but if you, speaking from a personal point of view, if you wait to the end of the credits, it's not like a spoiler scene or anything. They give a tribute to Harryhausen, so
okay,
that for me was like, oh, right in the childhood. But
got feels, bro.
So many feels, all the feels. But I just loved it. 6 months ago, I saw the trailer. It's like they reached into my brain, took everything I wanted to see in a film and put it on film, and then they added GLaDOS's voice from Portal.
Is that in the film?
Oh, yeah.
It's
in the film.
Ploy in the trailer?
It's in the film.
That's good.
I approve of that.
That would have been a bit sneaky otherwise.
Yeah.
Sorry, spoiler alert, but that's amazing.
Awesome.
But yeah, it is in the film throughout.
Cool.
And the Inception, boom, is not just a trailer ploy. It's the noise that the robots make.
Okay.
When they, like, sort of fire up, they make the boom.
Because I'm getting quite sick of that.
No, it's they have directly ripped the sound off, but, you know.
Oh, if it works. If it's got a place, then that's fine.
Everything works in that film.
Good.
To me.
There we go.
I'm
Del Toro does
to see that.
Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Yeah. I think
I did think
when Guillermo del Toro does American films, they're always quite hit or miss, I find.
Yeah.
Don't Be Afraid of the Dark still haunts me for all the wrong reasons, but it's good to hear that he's taking a step in the right direction.
I mean, it's hard for me not to be biased because
because of the topic, yeah.
Monsters is my thing, but I honestly can't think of anyone that wouldn't enjoy it. It was just amazing.
Yeah.
You could have the diehard fans of it's very anime, it's very Japanese anime.
Well,
meets Godzilla, meets Pat Labor, meets just all of those films combined.
I swear there was an anime that was essentially that plot.
I don't know whether it's
I'm not too familiar with anime. It might be done with its Gundam Wing or Evangelion?
Yeah, Neon Genesis Evangelion. It definitely pangs for that. That and Pat Labor with just the general robots. Yeah. It's more Evangelion, if anything. But they've put so much into it, and that was my only real worry, was looking at the trailer, was speaking personally, it was like, everything I want, please don't mess it up. Don't mess it up. And they, in my opinion, they triumphed. Absolutely loved it.
That's the important thing.
Yeah. It sounds cliche. There's something for everyone, but there really is. I just can't think of.
You gave
anyone.
It 9.5. Didn't you?
I did. So simply because, in my opinion, solid. And it hasn't taken anything in my lifetime. There, to me, is no such thing as a perfect film. But, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And the minor things for me is like the dialogue was a little bit cheesy.
As
I said in my review, it's very, there's always going to be that, Top Gun rivalry.
Mm.
But if anything, it was kind of, you can pass it off as an homage to things like that.
Yeah.
And it just works.
I think you expect a bit of cheesy dialogue in films like that.
Well,
I
mean, it's a 12A, it's not.
Yeah.
It's a family film, but you've got your adult humour in there. Believe me, you've got adult humour in there.
But it's not a film that's about the talking, really, is it?
Yeah, there's not as much big bashing of monsters as you would think for a film that's, what, 2.25 hours. There's actually a lot of... It's crazy to say it. There's a lot of, like, depth to the characters, and there's a lot of character development, and that's what I really liked about it, is that they made it more about the people than about the monsters.
Okay.
Still with, like, ridiculously...
Well, it's Oz, man. It's Oz.
We're cancelling the apocalypse.
Yeah.
And Idris Elba has, in my opinion, firmly overtaken Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, he's great.
He's just brilliant.
And he doesn't wear silly hats.
If Luther tells
me
to do something, I'm just going to do it. Let's just be honest. He's amazing. But, yeah.
If anybody barked anything at me in a... kind of strong Cockney accent, I think I'll probably do it out of fear, to be honest.
He is Hackney. Whether it was he's Hackney's finest.
Yeah.
But yeah, just brilliant film.
Sweet. Okay. Strong recommend. What have you seen, Phil?
Well,
it's been a bit of a scant week for all of us.
in an example of what the hell am I doing with my life, I spent about over the past 3 days, maybe 15 hours of my life catching up on Game of Thrones.
I would say that means your life is full of awesome.
I guess so. I'd left it midway
through. Welcome to the new world.
Midway through season two, so I had a lot of catching up to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we talked about it last week a little bit.
Yeah, because I kind of wasn't
so
really properly
good.
Kind of chasing up, but wow. Penultimate episode of season three. Wow.
So have you've seen all of
season
three
of
to
now.
The end?
All of it now.
Yeah. The ending is a little bit...
Spoiler alert? Do we...
Yeah, massive spoiler alert.
Yeah,
because
I don't want to spoil things for Game of Thrones, so...
Joffrey does that.
Yeah. Oh, no. But yeah.
I think he's great. He plays the part brilliantly.
Oh,
because
he's disgusting.
You hate him.
Jack Gleeson.
Him and Cersei, they play their parts brilliantly. Because...
And
you,
so
you're,
does Peter Dinklage. And so
you're supposed to hate
Maisie Williams.
Two.
And so does...
is there anyone in there who's weak?
Yeah,
oh, Bran. Bran can do one. Oh, God, I hate Bran.
It's the storyline I'm probably least interested in, to be honest.
Oh, Bran. Why? Why are you there?
He's got mad skills.
See, I've
is
read the books,
Worg?
So, like, certain characters...
That's racist.
Certain characters that
no.
may not be so great, maybe get a little better.
Mm.
But,
yes.
Hodor. Spoiler alert, Hodor becomes the king of...
The king in the north, Hodor.
He claims the Iron Throne.
Yeah.
The end.
I'd follow.
Everyone lives under the rule of Hodor.
His manifesto is short.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't even know what to say. The Red Wedding episode.
Spoiler warning! Spoiler warning! Spoiler
yeah.
warning!
Massive.
Spoiler warning!
So much
the biggest
warning.
Game of Thrones
but
spoiler warning
that
ever.
That was brutal when both the situation, but also cutting off. The direwolf's head.
Oh, and, that was the worst bit.
Attaching it onto Rob's
trust
body.
You to hate the animal slaughter.
I did.
and then just like riding him out. Here comes the king of the north. The king of the oh,
Cat Stark getting her throat slit. Don't bat an eyelid.
Oh,
they're killing
no.
the direwolf.
That was really well done, though.
I didn't realize how much I liked the Starks until that moment. Like, because Caitlin always was a bit like, meh. Like, kind of, I wasn't too, kind of, didn't not like her as such, but,
She seemed to make poor decisions, counterintuitive decisions that made me dislike her a bit.
Yeah, but after that happened, I realised that, oh, actually, I really kind of like the Starks, and now they're all gone, essentially.
Yeah. Well, no, not all of them.
Short of the kids.
You've got Bran.
Fuck you, Bran.
Got Rickon, got Arya. Jon Snow.
Rickon, or as Kat says, Rickon, which Rickon. Just annoys me every single time. Pet peeve, I know. Sorry, that's me getting angry at slight things again.
Calm yourself.
But yeah.
It was amazing. I mean, for me, what, like, before the slaughter started, my favourite bit, and I think even if you hadn't read the book, when she turns over, like, Roose Bolton's sleeve to see he's got armour and he looks at her, you just know shit's going to go down. You know something bad is going to...
I could sense it was building up something because the music just stopped and it fell into silence.
Well, I knew because the band was playing the Lannister song.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, I'm impressed.
I didn't even pick up on that.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Can't remember what it's called, but it's been playing is that the important one, Lannister scene.
Is that the one that they were... They were singing once. I can't remember. Was it Bronn?
I think it might have been. Yeah.
He ended up singing a Lannister song.
You know what? I'm going to try and find out.
But yeah, other than that, kind of been madly falling in love with Emilia Clarke.
Oh, she's beautiful.
Daenerys is awesome.
She's pretty badass.
She's just cool.
Yeah, she's obviously.
Sorry,
she's
I zoned out a bit there thinking about her.
Oh yes, because that's what episode 9's called.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I miss
wow.
all of these things. I've read all the books and I'm missing all of this thing.
Yeah, I didn't pick up on that, but yeah, glad I caught up because season 2 didn't grab me and that's why I didn't
catch up. Meandered.
Battle of Blackwater was awesome. Like, they got the wildfire so right. I was so worried throughout that
whole...
Well,
that was the Neil Marshall episode, wasn't it?
Throughout the whole of season 2, I was thinking if they fuck up the wildfire, I could be done. But they got it so right.
Yeah.
And it's... That was awesome.
I quite like their tactic of having all the immensely exciting stuff happen in the penultimate episode.
And then the aftermath.
And then the end is just kind of wrap up and then leaving things open to get you interested in
what's
going to happen.
It wasn't as much in season 3, though, was there?
No.
The end wasn't as much of a... Because at the end
not
of...
Not like season 2.
Like season 2 was the
White
Walkers.
Walkers.
I can't, off the top of my head, remember what was at the end of season 1.
really?
Can't I? Why am I being obtuse?
Ned Stark.
Well, that was
no, that was
ultimate.
Episode 9. No,
oh, okay,
no, what was the final
cliffhanger
of episode 10 of season 1?
I thought
you meant
the kind of build up to the end rather than the actual
end.
I'm
pretty sure it's quite significant, but I'll shoot myself later.
Yeah, I can't remember right now. Shit.
But the White Walkers was... The end of season 2 was just obscene. Like, that was amazing.
Yeah.
Loved it.
And the zombie horse.
Yes.
Liking the zombie horse.
Just brilliant, brilliant programme. So I got to talk about Pacific Rim and Game of Thrones.
Pacific Rim, awesome. Game of Thrones, awesome.
What about
anything
you, Sarah?
Else?
You haven't spoken much.
I've spoken plenty. Just haven't had much to say. Much like real life. I haven't... do you know what? I checked my Miso account to see what I'd logged into this week, and apparently I haven't logged into anything since Children of the Corn. So, pretty much all I've been doing for the past week is binging on TV.
Nothing wrong with that.
Good old Netflix.
I spoke a lot about Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
So
I stormed through the latest Netflix originals, which is Orange is the New Black.
Yeah, I've heard of
that. Really, really impressed, actually. It's created by Jenji Kohan, who did Weeds. And I do wonder...
That's a good pedigree.
Yeah, I do wonder because I can't remember what series it was in Weeds. I think it's old enough to not be considered a spoiler now. But their main character goes to prison... And then they do that very, very lazy writing technique of, like, 3 years later, which I hate. But I always wonder if this came about because to explore Nancy's time in prison and maybe the idea intrigued them. And it's just so well done. And I didn't find out until after I'd seen the entire series that it's actually a true story.
Okay.
It's based on a book that somebody wrote of their experiences in a women's prison.
Wow.
And they get the balance of the dark stuff and the comedy just bang on. It's really well acted.
That's good.
Because
I was never convinced by Weeds.
Yeah.
Can
Orange
talk a
the
lot
New
about
Black
that.
Has much more of a an ensemble cast. Like, okay. The characters are so, so varied, and they're all really well portrayed.
Yeah.
Some are a little bit cartoonish.
Yeah.
But they mostly get the balance quite right. Yeah, definitely, definitely worth a watch. Like I said, I binged on it in just a few days. And I'm kind of sad that there's no more now.
No.
I hate when that happens. So yeah, strong recommend from me.
Okay.
Anyone else?
Dexter's back.
Yeah, I haven't seen
Dexter's
any yet.
Dexter's back. I'm up to date with Dexter. It's started pretty strongly.
Okay.
But it's the final season, isn't it?
Well, it's kind of been losing me for the last couple seasons. I am intrigued to see how they end it.
I'm not going to spoil it, but with the end of the last season,
yeah,
it was really promising. Mm-hmm. The first episode, how it started and how they did kind of I think it was 6 months later.
Mm-hmm.
And it was too separated. Where the where I thought the characters were going, they weren't there, basically. They'd gone completely skew-if. But by the end of episode one, huge bombshell was dropped and it had me hooked again.
Okay.
And
they always did that very well.
Since. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's good.
Well, promising then.
And I am still, embarrassingly, still watching True Blood.
Oh no.
And I don't know why. It was okay in the first couple of seasons. Then it got really crap.
Fairies, witches, have all this shit. Because there wasn't enough going on to begin with.
Like, seasons one and two, they were like, oh, vampires, vampires, vampires. Mm. Really cool vampires. Super hard, super old vampires. Oh, wait. Fairies. Yeah. Maenads. God.
Maenads.
Maenads. Oh, just don't.
Gonads. What?
Gonads.
See, that's what I thought.
Gonads. Fairies. Wolves. Shifters, which aren't wolves, they're different, la la la. And it's still ridiculous. They've introduced a new character who is actually awesome. They've been talking about throughout the whole of all six seasons this guy called Warlow, and you finally see him. And he's pretty awesome. He's actually pretty awesome.
That name rings a bell. Embarrassingly, I have actually read quite a lot of the books.
Yeah, he's actually played by the guy whose name escapes me. He's what I would call Charlie Hunnam's Iceman to his Maverick in Pacific Rim. He's in Pacific Rim. He pilots one of the other Jaegers. Jaegers being the robots. EastEnders.
Oh, good lord.
I can't remember his name in EastEnders because I don't watch EastEnders.
Phil Mitchell.
It weren't Phil Mitchell. Grant Mitchell, who's actually surprisingly well spoken. Ross Kemp on Gangs. But he's good. It's got a little better, I guess, but considering the last couple of seasons were a complete shitstorm, it's not difficult.
Yeah.
But I'm going to see it through because it's what season.
Well, why not? Give it a chance.
I want to say season six, but I think it might be season seven.
Wow.
Dexter season eight. And I'm sure soon enough we'll be talking about Breaking Bad coming back.
Oh, hell yes, we will. Hell yes.
It's been a year!
It's been a long old year.
No Heisenberg in my life for a year.
Soon. But on that note, I think we've whittled on long enough, so we're going to take a short break, and then we'll come back with the trailer for Absentia, and we'll waffle on a bit about it, I guess.
Yeah,
sweet deal.
So, until then.
In a bit.
Bye-bye.
Hey.
Hi.
It's really good to see you.
It's really good to see you.
I brought some stuff for the little nephew, niece, or whatever. Death in absentia.
Once you declare someone dead, it's a different deal.
I'm here to help you file that paperwork.
It's time, right?
Yeah.
Danny?
Let's call them lucid dreams that you're having. They started about the time you decided to declare him dead in absentia. You're describing visual, auditory, even tactile hallucinations.
He's not the only one, not even close. They declared Walter dead in 2002. I ran into him just last week.
You see me?
Left behind a son who says his dad was taken away by a monster.
It's sleeping.
I saw
you
it.
You hallucinated.
I saw it. Things go missing in this neighborhood, and those things turn up in one place.
I was seeing things too. It felt so real.
We found a body in the tunnel.
Oh my God.
You see your eyes?
We're gonna need to question you a lot more.
I swear to you, I could hear him in the walls.
And we're back, and we're going to talk about Absentia from 2011. I haven't seen this for a little while, but it did make a big impact on me when I did watch it. You guys have seen it in the past sort of 24 hours?
You've seen it in like 4 hours. Yeah. I watched it over the weekend.
Okay, sweet. So basically, it came out in 2011. Nobody of note is in it, really, apart from Doug Jones. Briefly.
Yeah. But it is Doug Jones.
Yeah. So. It's worth pointing out that this was made, it's funded via Kickstarter, which is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
I honestly can't think of any other feature-length films that I've seen that have been funded by Kickstarter.
Not off the top of my head. Well, it hasn't been made. Is Zach Braff?
Zach Braff's been... Did have a try in it.
Oh, the controversy.
Whatever.
But yeah, I haven't actually seen any that have been funded by Kickstarter apart from this, I don't think.
Not feature length.
They set out to raise $15,000 and they actually raised $25,000.
Oh, nice.
So I'm assuming they used all that on the film.
Yeah.
Which, to say that they made that on 25 grand is outstanding.
Yeah,
ridiculous. It's amazing.
Apparently, the director wrote the first draft of the screenplay in 2 sittings.
Not bad.
Wow. I mean,
impressive.
The script is not bad. So, let's start from the beginning then. What were your expectations, and did you have any expectations? Because I sort of
I knew nothing about it yesterday. Yeah, you said watch Absentia. I got it, and I didn't even know what it was about. I purposely didn't read any blurb. I checked the IMDb that I wasn't gonna be getting the wrong version or anything. So
always good.
Yeah. Yeah, zero expectations, zero knowledge of the film. Went in completely blind.
Yeah, what about you? You obviously... Same.
Yeah, you kind of went...
Nothing
other
than... Oh,
God, it's amazing.
Yeah, other than what the DVD tells you.
That was it, really?
Yeah.
I think, personally, for me, which
is... I think it's a film that benefits from going in blind.
I think something that, as you've touched on, that's impacted me the most with the film,
mm-hmm.
and we'll talk more, obviously, about how we thought of it,
yeah.
I had no idea it was... the budget. I had no idea going in.
No.
So to find out...
I only just found out now,
yeah,
to be honest.
To find out that it was made on such a little budget is... It's gone
all
up
need,
even further in my estimation.
Yeah. All you need is imagination and dedication, and this sounds like it's turning into the Record Breakers theme tune, but I can assure you it's not. But it's amazing what can be done on comparatively little money if the right people are behind it.
Definitely.
And it just highlights how lazy some filmmakers can be, I think. How much they can rest on their laurels and...
Rest on their money as well.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think low budgets can force people to be more creative, so they can
definitely
often result in really great
things.
But
I like that. I like that they've got that pressure. They've got those limits. And they're being... tested to the fullest.
Yeah, I think in a lot of cases when people are handed massive amounts of money, that is when they get lazy, because they can rely on CGI.
Yep.
They can get other people to step in and help, and they have to do less. And yeah, I think low budgets really can force people to make better films.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Jackson, go back to low budget horror, please.
Can you imagine another film a la Braindead?
Oh, I'd love it.
I would adore that so much.
So. None of us really knew anything about it.
Nope.
I am ashamed to say that I only really found out about this film via one of our writers, Richard, submitted a review to me, read it and kind of went, holy shit, why have I not heard of this film? This sounds amazing. Immediately went out and bought it, I think for about £2 on Amazon, amazingly.
Bargain.
I know. And loved it. And I want to watch it again. I think it's one of those films... Obviously, we spoke a little bit about Ink last week. You know, we all love
Ink.
That. It's one of those films, though.
Mm.
It's not quite on the same level as Ink, obviously.
No.
It doesn't have the same magic, but it's one of those films where I want
to
go away and introduce
it to people.
It's
got a similar feel to it.
Yeah.
In certain ways, I actually, like, we'll obviously talk about it further, but the music was very ink-esque, I guess. The constant pang of like a resonant noise through the whole film. I loved it.
As far as I could pick out, it was too obtuse for me in a way, because...
Okay. Did you find it intrusive?
Yes, because it was essentially two notes, and as soon as you realise it's just two notes playing, just all the way through, it just becomes like so intrusive, and it's like, oh, they're playing this song again. And I mean, I don't know, maybe it's just
up until that point I was living in blissful ignorance. Thanks for that.
You're welcome. I'm going to hate you
when I watch that now, because it's like an ambience and then an organ playing two notes.
Cannot be unheard.
And that did jump out to me when I was watching it.
That didn't, I'll be honest, that didn't occur to me when I was watching it. I was very aware of the backing sounds and the backing music, which, as we talked about as well, is not necessarily a good thing, because the minute you're aware of it, it's not necessarily doing its job.
Yeah.
It's the sort of thing that should maybe go unnoticed if it's perfect for the film.
Yeah.
But it definitely didn't annoy me like it did you.
I'm not saying annoyed. Really liked it.
Mm. I'm just saying.
I quite like that kind of discordant. It adds to the unease.
Yeah.
I think.
Mm. Yeah. I guess we'd agree to disagree on that.
I think when you're bombarded with like heavy loud music, it kind of can sometimes take away from what you're actually viewing, and it's quite understated. It was, as you said, just two notes, but it added to the realism to me, because there wasn't that bah, 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 that just takes away from how real it felt.
I mean, you can. There's no kind of. It's not that sort of, I guess, black and white. I mean, you can kind of have low
color.
Stated. You can have like ambient music without it being kind of, you know, overdone, I suppose.
Yeah.
I just think it was. They could have, if they'd have kind of kept it, if they'd have just not got rid of those two notes, for example, but...
If they got rid of those two notes,
there'd have been no music whatsoever.
I would not have liked that.
But ambience would have worked, and kind of more sounds rather than music, and that would have been great.
I think we are going to have to agree to disagree on that.
Definitely.
It worked for me. In the same way, you know, like the first half an hour of Irreversible, where they've got that really, really discordant noise that's kind of set at a frequency that's designed to make you feel sick.
Yeah.
It worked on that sort of a level for me. It really added to the uneasy feeling. And
yeah,
it really helped
yeah,
to
I
ramp
agree with
up
that. I would go along with that. I would say it made me feel uneasy. It's almost because it's not one of those films that jumps out at you. The scares aren't initially from minute one.
It just
the
makes
music
you feel
always feels like it's building to something, and it's. I much prefer films that when you build up to something, if there's not necessarily anything there, I prefer that in a way, because you build up, you get there, you wait, you drop your guard, then bang, it hits you.
Yeah.
And I think this film did it perfectly.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think the music complemented that.
Yeah, ditto. It's funny you used the word realism a minute ago. Because I think one thing that people have criticised, I mean, mostly, well, let's have a look. On IMDb, it has a 5.6 from user reviews.
That makes
more
me
than
sad.
More than 6,000 user reviews, but it does much better from critics' reviews.
I expect that,
yeah. But one thing that the users have criticised is the performances, the acting. But I think it was intended to be quite naturalistic.
Yeah.
And I think it worked.
I thought the acting was really good, actually.
Everybody was on about the same level.
It was really, really believable.
Yeah.
The only one characters, potentially, were the two police officers, were a bit...
At least one of them was
they're
perhaps
a bit,
more over the top than
yeah,
anyone else.
Slightly more over the top.
Yeah.
Whether that was intended or not, but I don't know.
Mm. But yeah, that's something I thought...
The two main
kind of a strong
characters,
suit.
I thought they were brilliant.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm.
Very believable that they were sisters.
Yeah.
Wouldn't, if I'd have seen them out in the real world, I wouldn't have said, well, you're just that.
Yeah,
too.
No,
they're very
quite a
good
believable
chemistry.
Familial chemistry.
Yeah,
definitely.
Shall we do a rundown of the plot?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay.
And at this point, I think we've not spoiled anything so far, but from this point onwards there may be mega spoilers.
Yeah,
so definitely.
Be aware of that. So go on then, give us a synopsis.
Try and work out something. Okay, so I guess it's a tale of two sisters.
But not Korean.
Not Korean. Who, well, they meet up after a long kind of period of not seeing each other.
Of absence.
Of absence. Anyway, and it turns out one of the sisters is pregnant, but her husband has been missing for 7 years, and mm-hmm. she's in the process of filing a document that legally defines him as dead. Now she's in the process.
In absentia.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's the Thailand thing.
I see what they're doing, it makes sense now.
As she's in the process of doing it, she starts seeing spooky things.
Apparitions. Are you going to say such? Spoons for a
spoons.
Second?
Spoons.
That's not the film I saw.
That's salad fingers. I think we've digressed.
Oh, no. Not salad fingers. But yeah, spooky things. Weird apparitions of her husband. But then it turns out all of a sudden he's actually there. And they're not necessarily...
Spoiler!
Well,
we've
given a spoiler warning.
That was brilliant.
That was so well done. I had no idea what on the screen was real at any point.
Yeah. And so they have the inevitable reunion, and then all of a sudden he disappears again.
Mm-hmm.
Now they kind of, they tie it to this mysterious tunnel nearby, that near the house, kind of, I guess, realise that there's some sort of sinister creature living there who essentially kidnaps people. I guess that's all that needs to be known, really, without actually going through the whole plot.
I think initially, when we're not sure what the fuck is going on, and you're kind of seeing things from the older sister's perspective,
yeah.
I was never sure what was real and what wasn't. And I think the spooky moments where all it was just a glimpse out of the corner of your eye, as she would have seen it, of something that shouldn't have been there.
It's like the first time you see him.
It was so well done.
The first time you see him when she's in bed.
And it was so
he's standing there behind, but you don't even realise he's there because there's no movement. So you think, oh, it's just the backdrop. And then as she turns around, he walks out the room. That...
It's so...
Goosebumps.
It's giving me goosebumps
Yeah, same.
Thinking
same.
About it. But it's so,
but I
so
think,
simple.
As I was saying with the whole... I like a film that will build you up and build you up and then you drop your guard. You see her coming to terms with the fact that she's going to be seeing him from time to time, and then she walks out with the police officer and he
and
looks
she's
at
so used to
and she's so used to seeing you and you the viewer as a viewer like personally you saw him in the background and you thought, oh, it's just him again.
Yeah,
and my guard was down and then the copper looks at him and you're like,
yeah.
Shit just got real.
Holy shit.
I was like, whoa, turn it on its head.
It's a really, really nice use of a narrow depth of field, because that's generally how they achieve it. They whack the focus, really sort of whack it out of focus, the background, so you naturally don't think about it. So when there's no movement, it just blends into part of the background. But as soon as there is movement, then you realise that something's there. Or you might pick out a weird face that you're not sure whether it's his actual face or...
Yeah, there was some hella
pretty sinister
moments. Yeah, the most effective use of that I can think of in recent memory, and to say it's in a film that cost $25,000 is fair play to them. Seriously, I don't think I've seen anything else that the director's done. Mike Flanagan wrote and directed it. He's got a few other credits to his name, but nothing that I'm familiar with, so very interested to see what he comes up with next. I mean, can you think of anything else that you've seen that has the same sort of tone?
Tone as in just the general atmosphere.
Yeah.
Ink.
I would agree with that.
I would say, yeah.
Would
they have this kind of very...
They're both quite dreamy, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah, but even
but
down
sort
to the...
Sort of veneer to them.
Yeah.
Not quite real, but still believable.
It's about the same... Like, the acting is on a par in both as well.
Definitely.
And I don't know if that's a budgetary thing, or I don't know what to put that down to.
Yeah.
It just, to me, I can't really put it into words, but I do agree their similarity. It was just the feel of the film was very similar to the feel of Ink.
Yeah.
Maybe it was the low budget, or But that is in no way detrimental to the film at all. I think it's thrived because of its low budget.
Tonally, I would agree. I mean, did you second guess the film at any point? Because it sort of, I wouldn't say it blew me away by the end.
No.
But I never knew at any point how it was going to end or where it was going to end. And I think that's a plus point.
I never would have thought that they would have taken the pregnant girl. And
that was dark.
Yeah.
The bit at the end where it...
Fuck.
But again, shallow depth of focus. It was just blurry, and so you can see this kind of fleshy mass, but then the cord, and it's like, oh god.
That genuinely, made my stomach go a bit. And the reaction of the sister when she sees it, you don't even need to, you could, even if you didn't know what was down there, from her reaction, it was so convincing.
Yeah.
You would have known just through her eyes, but that's dark.
Yeah.
And
unexpected.
Another thing with the dialogue, the script of how sinister is it when the guy says don't trade, they get fixated, they get attached, and when she's shouting trade and he pops a friggin' that baby out, and you're like, and again, it's one of those films where it's a tried and tested successful thing. You never see all the monster.
Yes.
Yeah.
Your brain fills in the blanks because your imagination is far darker than anything they'll put on film.
It's so underused. Imagination is the most powerful tool.
Definitely.
The less you show, the more effective it can be.
You almost quoted my article, one of my newest articles that's coming up.
Really?
You almost quoted it word for word just then. I phrased it, I think it's the imagination is the most powerful weapon in the horror movies arsenal or something like that.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Absolutely.
What you don't see is always scarier.
Yeah.
Because your imagination fills in the blanks.
Particularly if, as in this case, the antagonist is insectoid.
Yeah.
Not necessarily insectoid, but not human, I guess. Because obviously that's a very tricky thing to pull off if you've got low budget. And so the best way to handle it is to let the audience do the work and just show hints here and there. So whether it's a kind of an insecty leg that disappears into the darkness, or
it's one of those things where your imagination was where, when he's come back, and he's reading, Billy Goat's Gruff, and he's looking at the troll under the bridge, and he's like, "Well, it doesn't. That's not how it looks.
Yeah.
It's more insectoid, and it has the skin of silverfish, and it's just your brain is already building up what this monster looks like. You know now that it's not human, that it's a monster.
Yeah.
And it's in 5 seconds of dialogue for the next hour, my brain was ticking over, what does this thing look like? When am I going to see it? Is it big? Is it small? Is it aggressive? Blah, 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 blah.
And way more effective than had they
You don't need $180 bajillion budget to... And it's not just going, it's right, scary mind. It's just... And it, for me, you know, I love my monsters, I love my folklore. It played on a classic children's story as well.
Yeah.
It played on a children's story.
I think, that...
Very dark fantasy.
That leftover fear from childhood is probably another reason why it's so effective.
Combined with imagination.
We seem to be doing that a lot recently.
Yeah.
Kind of dark fairy tales.
Subconsciously,
Company of Wolves. Now the Three Billy Gets Gruff.
Yeah. So... Would you recommend this to people? Would it be an easy recommend? Or would you have to be selective about who you recommended it to? Do you think it's got mass appeal?
No,
I think it would be wasted on some people. I don't mean that in a patronising way. Some people will be expecting a big spectacle.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have to show them the film without telling them what I thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
And without them knowing anything about it. The way you showed me. Because... I went in there not knowing anything.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were to tell someone, it's about ABC, it cost this much or this little, a lot of people would just be like, well, it's going to be rubbish anyway. And you go in there with that preconceived notion that it's not going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that does no justice to the film.
It's interesting to say that, though, because I think that ties in with the idea of kind of not being for everyone. It ties in with the discrepancy between... user reviews and critics reviews.
Definitely.
Because obviously not to kind of belittle the kind of general the general.
No,
member
go
of the
for it. People on IMDb idiots.
The general member voice, but an everyday person. It's not necessarily. It's an art film in a way.
Yeah.
The way that they're approached to it, and so, you know, there's.
It's not a box office.
No,
film,
I, and
sure.
I checked the forum. Mm-hmm. Once I finished it, and a lot of people were saying how much they hated it, and they didn't like you know, various sort of.
I don't really know what I mean. I loved it, but I don't really know what there is. I could not go. I hated this part about the film.
Mm.
It's a small film. You treat it as such, you'll be impressed. But if you're expecting
Pacific Rim, I am disappointed.
To be fair, I've gone from Pacific Rim to this. I haven't watched anything in between, and I was still impressed.
Films,
it's very
imagine.
You've gone from super budget to really understated.
What struck me so weirdly about it, and I think this is why I perhaps associate it with Ink so much, is
mm-hmm.
how much love there is in the film.
Yeah.
Like, for saying it's a horror film, or at least a very dark fantasy story, there's a lot of love, whether it's between the sisters,
yeah,
or the husbands,
true,
or the policeman, and the kind of the, one of the sisters, or just general, or how I noticed the policeman treats the murder suspect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They you know, even though they kind of think they kind of suspect he's, oh no, he was a member of a person of interest, wasn't
mm-hmm.
he?
Yeah.
But then when when they realized that there was this kind of creature that was taking people,
yeah.
the policemen were like, well, we're sorry, we failed you, you know.
Yeah.
It struck me how much
it's love and protection. There's
yeah,
a lot of protectiveness. I mean, you have the older sister protecting the younger sister because she's just got out of rehab.
Yeah.
But then you have it the other way around,
yeah.
and then they're both protecting the husband when he comes back. You've got the police officer protecting the pregnant woman throughout the whole film, and then you've even got, well, when you come, love and protection can almost overlap, when you've got the younger sister who takes the food out to the guy that she sees in the, thinking he's just like a homeless guy.
Yeah. Doug Jones' character.
Yeah.
It's quite sad that should strike us as interesting, but I think it's testament to the sort of characters that we're used to seeing now.
Yeah.
And they,
yeah.
they are generally loathsome people, especially in horror films.
Yeah.
Horror
yeah.
films are populated by horrible, horrible people generally, and you can't wait to see them die.
Yeah.
Where in this, I suppose it is
quite
rare.
I didn't want to see... At times, the main police officer, he irritates me. Like, when he was interrogating the guy who'd cut the husband who'd come back, and he was like, you're lying. That was the first time in the film I genuinely was like, you need to get your comeuppance.
Yeah.
But then, straight away, when he first sees the husband, he's like, call an ambulance.
Mm.
He's taking the wife on a date when he sees it, and
yeah.
his first instinctual thing is protection, doing my job, and it's...
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why I always feel Ink is a good parallel, because, you know, I watch that and you feel the love
so much love, so much protectiveness.
The dad feels for
yeah.
his girl. And I just it just strikes me that's, you know, it's a very kind
yeah,
of uplifting
very
uplifting movie in a way. And I think it's the same here as well, even though it's very dark.
Yeah, very.
There's a lot of love in
it's
it.
It's bleak.
Yeah.
But yeah,
very.
I definitely agree with that. So, who wants to wrap up first? I'll go first.
Okay.
Right, like I say, I think it's definitely a film that benefits from going in knowing very little about it, so I hope at this point you've seen the film. If not, we're sorry. But we're not really. Sorry, not sorry. It's... I think I would find it quite difficult to recommend to people.
Yes.
People like you guys, I suspected that you might like it.
Yeah.
If I'm less familiar with people's movie taste, or if I know they're not necessarily into or open to lower budget films,
mm-hmm.
then I think I'd be really reluctant to recommend it, which is sad because I think they'd be missing out.
Yeah.
But I think if you are open to low budget films, I think Kickstarter is kind of maybe a noose around its neck in a way, because I think people hear Kickstarter and write it off before they even watch it.
Which is a shame.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do agree with that.
But definitely don't let that put you off. What would I give it out of 10?
Tough one, isn't it?
It is. I think maybe 7.5.
Okay.
Maybe even 8, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm really keen to watch it again, and I'm really keen to
try and
force it upon other people as well, try and make them appreciate it.
Tentatively force it upon
not certain people. 8 out of 10, I think. That's... Yeah, really enjoyed it. Really, really enjoyed it.
I think, for me, it's one of those films that I'm conflicted because I loved it, first and foremost, but I loved it so much that I would not want to, and that sounds really like arsey, I wouldn't want everybody to see it because I don't want people you know what I mean?
Don't want people not liking it.
And I know it makes me sound like a pretentious tool.
It's a bit one of those,
you probably didn't appreciate it if you didn't like it, which is exactly what I don't like about people
before it became mainstream.
But yeah.
But do you know what you mean?
I don't want to, because I think for me, if I said to someone I really built it up and they just came back and said, oh, it was shit, it would really, like,
there's nothing
I'd be
worse than
gutted.
Introducing somebody to a film you love and having them go, and
but as
or anything, really,
for me, as a film, I really loved it. I going in blind
as
was
a pizza.
Great
as a film you loved it.
Yeah, as a pizza, I would rate it pepperoni. No,
as a pizza, disappointing. Very un-pizza-like.
Would not buy again.
Out of 10.
Out of 10. Oof. That's hard. I think I would give it an 8 out of 10 as well.
Yeah. Sweet. In agreement. Wow.
Just about an 8 out of 10.
I was umming and ahhing. I don't know if that's too generous or not. I'm going to stick by an 8.
I'm going to be completely... my own personal opinion. Slap bang, 8 out of 10.
Yeah. 2 8s.
Pressure's on me, huh?
Give us what you got, Phil.
In a startling turn of events, I think I'm actually going to disagree with you guys.
Okay.
Now, I loved it, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But. What do I say, really? One of the things that struck me was I didn't find it as tense as I could have done, I think.
Maybe that's down to the music.
Yeah,
then.
Maybe.
The
one scene that I did that did strike me that I genuinely hated and kind of almost had to look away was the shot when one of the sisters is looking down at the basement or whatever, and it's framed in such a way there's a lot of black space to the right of her, and you just know something's going to come, and it's directed in such a way that moment just drags on and on and on and on.
Yeah.
And it kind of really builds it up because you know that something's going to happen. But outside of that, there weren't really many moments where I kind of felt uneasy watching it. I mean, it did strike me that, they obviously aborted fetus that was hanging out there.
That
was pretty grim. But
not pleasant.
Yeah, that was kind of mainly the kind of only moment that struck me. I mean, I loved, I can't remember how they do it. I remember it striking me when I was watching it, and I paused and looked back.
Mm-hmm.
But for example, when the sister's in the tunnel at the end and she's spinning around, you see faces and stuff distorting in the background.
Yeah.
And
it almost looks like they're coming through.
Yeah, and now I can't remember how they did it, whether it was shadows or an overlay or whatever. You know, they're definitely
I would guess some kind of overlay.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird. And I really appreciated that because it was subtle, and if you weren't paying attention...
Very well.
And that's one of the things I love in film, subtlety. I don't know whether maybe my expectations were too high, which kind of sucks if they were.
That can sometimes be quite detrimental.
Yeah.
Maybe that's because I did say, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
Maybe it's my fault.
So really, it's all Sarah's fault.
Yeah. Out of 10.
Out of 10, I reckon I'm going to give it a 7.
That's still
really
good.
And it's all Sarah's
good.
Fault.
I was kind of 6.5.
I'd give it an 8, and it's all Sarah's fault.
I was kind of 6.5-ing, but then I figured I'd be generous to give it 7. But
it sounds like a drug thing.
6.5-ing.
It does. We at the
Gore Press
Scorecast
do not condone
6.5-ing. Just say no, kids.
So yeah. That's my rating.
Don't trade. Sweet. Don't trade.
No.
Don't
no.
fucking trade. Swapsies in the playground are off from now on. No trades.
If you have got 10 of the same pog.
Yeah.
Oh.
If you want an aborted fetus for 10 pogs,
oh,
I mean.
God.
Yeah.
So, On that note.
On that lovely note.
Yeah.
I have to end it. And I've just thought of the film that I want to do next time.
Okay.
If you're up for it. I want to cover Lovely Molly.
Oh, I want to see that movie.
Sweet. Me too.
Let's do that.
Sounds good.
You're welcome to join us again if you want.
Superb.
Oren.
No.
No.
I want to say Eduardo Sanchez. Blair Witch.
Blair Witch, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know who I was thinking
Oren
of, but yeah.
Kelly, Paranormal Activity.
Maybe. Found footage. All of the found footage.
It's all the same.
But yeah, I remember it being one of the fan footage movies, so yeah. But no, I did.
I
can't remember what it's about, but...
It's a tremendously, tremendously strange film, and I'm still, at this point in time, not sure how I feel about it, so I'm quite interested.
Worth discussing this.
Yeah. Yeah. So, until then, you can get in touch with us in a number of ways.
As
you
always.
Can find us...
the social media.
All the stuff. Firstly, gorepress.com. We've currently got a new competition up where you can win a copy of... Shit, what's it called? There's something of Rosalind Lee.
See, that's what I remember.
So if you want to win a copy of
the
something of... No, we're not giving that away. If you want to win a DVD by answering a very, very easy question,
wow,
then do so. It's open for the next 2 weeks. Oh, no, it'll be the next week by the time this is out, actually.
Oh, true.
We've got a
professional
bunch,
end, guys.
Bunch of new reviews at the minute. There'll be a bunch more by the time this goes out. Always new content. You can find us at Facebook by searching facebook.com/gorecast. We're on Twitter at gorecastx. And you can get in touch via email at podcast@gorepress.com. You want to pimp out your own Twitters or anything? No? Fuck you guys!
Mine's just me being a moany bastard anyway. So if you want Ben all the time, is at moanybastard.com.
That's just
me.
Twitter.
Yeah.
That's
just the moanybastard.com.
Yeah.
Do you understand how URLs work?
No.
twitter.com/@benallthetime.com.
www.com.
I think we're all suffering from the heat at the minute.
So warm.
On that note, we'll leave you for another week with Missed You by the
Miss
Dresden
me.
Dolls. Oh, for fuck's sake, I'm too warm, Phil.
You saw Amanda Palmer on Friday. And she performed that song as well.
I saw all of Amanda Palmer on Friday.
She did, yeah. It's quite a spectacle.
Okay, Missed Me by the Dresden Dolls. Until next time, stay spooky.
Missed me, missed me, now you Do you miss me? Will you kiss me through the window? Do you miss me?